Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into News and Views. We're really excited to have Stephanie Jackson with us. She is a community organizer with Ride New Orleans. Stephanie works to increase transit rider engagement, increase membership in the Coalition for Quality Transit, and win specific transit improvements. She graduated from the University of Georgia with a bachelor's in English, with a focus in multicultural women's studies, as well as a certificate in African American studies. After college, Stephanie was a union organizer. I'm sure you're putting a lot of that experience to use now, and a strategic researcher in the labor movement. And you've also taught English both in China and Venezuela for 4 years. And now you have a master's in secondary education from National Lewis University. Stephanie's main interest was developing a curricula for minority education for the purpose of developing self-empowerment and breaking cycles of poverty. That's amazing. And you've also taught Spanish and history in Chicago and New Orleans schools. And we're so excited to have you here and to have you be an organizer in the Crescent City. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So Stephanie currently works for the nonprofit organization Ride New Orleans, and you're working on a couple of campaigns right now. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on and what those campaigns are?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, Ride New Orleans, you know, we're a public transportation advocacy group, and so we advocate for improving public transportation in New Orleans, including, you know, streetcars, buses, the ferries included with all of that. And so right now, the main thing that we're working on is a ferry terminal campaign. This is happening right now because the RTA is currently seeking permission to demolish the current structure. The designs that they presented, though, to replace the structure do not include two major features that riders have been counting on and utilizing over, you know, the past however many decades. So it's missing a footbridge, and that's one that's already there at the current structure. The footbridge people use to cross over the freight train tracks whenever there's a train coming, or a trolley, so that they don't get stuck behind the train and, you know, end up missing their ferry, or coming the other direction, end up being stuck behind the train and missing their bus connection, or ending up being late for work. So that's really important to have the footbridge for reliability's sake. It's also really important to have the footbridge because, you know, once people know that there's going to be a difficulty with getting to work, possibly, you know, on time, then you might have people taking risks, like running across the tracks if they see a train coming. You have kids that take the ferry to get to school sometimes, and so, you know, you don't want kids to have to cross the tracks. We want to at least give the option of being able to take the footbridge over it. Another problem with that is the fact that folks that have mobility problems, you know, they're going to continue to have trouble crossing over the freight tracks, because those are it's not exactly a smooth ride for someone in a motorized chair or a regular wheelchair. Also, with respect to the coverage, that's the other feature, the shelter is going to be missing as well. So the design they presented is also missing shelter. And so if you're waiting for the ferry terminal, there's quite a bit that you're going to have to walk without any shelter toward the boarding area. And once you get to the boarding area, you won't have any shelter throughout that whole time, the journey there and then waiting. And so, you know, that's a problem for folks who are, you know, have trouble with enduring the hot, you know, sun of New Orleans. And also, you know, we're known to have quite a bit of torrential, you know, downpours here. And so we think it's important to try to maintain these two features as opposed to, you know, going backwards. And so we think it's really important for the riders that we get this design fixed.
And what's kind of standing in the way of getting that design to address the needs of the riders?
Well, I mean, I'd say, like, all along in this planning process, it's been unfortunate because the folks that are going to be affected most
by whatever design they end up with in the end were not included in the way that they should have been. And so January was the first time they actually saw, you know, the design for the first time. Mm-hmm. And they found out at that same time that they were going to be seeking to demolish the current structure. And so they're like, wait a minute, you know, why weren't we involved in this process? And so, you know, city council, city planning commissioners also felt like there should have been more public involvement. So there was a public meeting held in Federal City. There was like, 150 folks that came out from Algiers and other parts of the city that are concerned about the ferry. And it took about 3 hours, you know, to get everybody's opinions out because there's just such a level of distrust that is built between folks in Algiers and the RTA. And so they went through the process of listening to everyone's concerns, and like unanimously everyone wanted to maintain the shelter and the footbridge. But after that meeting, there were no commitments to change the design. And there have been other meetings as well. And as of now, we've gotten no clear commitments to change the design. And so, you know, that's why the rally today is going to be really important. We need to definitely show the RTA and other city, you know, elected officials that the public is engaged. They care what happens to our ferry terminal. You know, a lot of folks look at that ferry terminal as, you know, a historic place. You know, they've grown up with it, and it holds a place, you know, in people's hearts. And so, you know, we're definitely going to be out there today letting everybody know what needs to be done. Today at 4 p.m., we're going to be meeting at Canal and Convention Center Boulevard. Basically, we're going to be meeting, you know, at the entrance of the ferry terminal. So right there, it's going to be probably about 30 minutes. And we're going to have different props to symbolize, you know, the problems that exist with the current design. We'll be bringing crutches to show the danger of the freight tracks without the footbridge. And we'll also be carrying umbrellas to show, you know, that we'll be out in the elements. And then some folks are going to be carrying clocks to symbolize the fact that there's going to be delays, you know, and folks can't afford to be late for work, especially, you know, a lot of the folks that work in the restaurant industry, you know, in the French Quarter and downtown are going to be negatively affected by that because they don't exactly have the most flexible schedules, right?
I was wondering what kind of has RTA's response been? Have they been able to justify these new designs, or have they just not addressed it? Like, I'm just trying to think of what would their
response be.
Yeah, or if they've even tried to communicate whatsoever the reasons why, not just we are doing this.
Well, I mean, I would say their main response has been the design is not complete, right? The plan is not complete. So there's a timeline where they have to meet certain progress points, right? And so at this point, they have to meet, you know, 60% of the design being finished. And so because it's technically to them 60%, they are consistently pushing, well, this is not it, you know, this is not going to be the last design, you know, there are other iterations that are going to come out, and this isn't the end. But I mean, in saying that, they've not committed to change anything. And so without that commitment, you know, I don't know that if that means a whole lot, you know, to the folks that, you know, use the ferry regularly.
Yep. And it kind of begs the question, who is the redesign for?
Right. Who is this really for? Yep. Right, exactly. Is it for the riders? If it's not for the riders, then who is it for, you know?
And you have another campaign that you're currently working on as well, is that correct?
Yeah, that one's in pretty early stages. You know, obviously before the storm, the transportation system in New Orleans was much better. They had more frequency of buses, like more buses that had like 15 that came every 15 minutes or so, right? Mm-hmm. And the percentage of those has just dropped quite a bit. and also the volume of rides that are given has dropped quite a bit. We're only at about 50% of the volume of rides that were being offered before the storm. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the buses and streetcars, there was a lot of damage caused by the storm. And so we understand, you know, it's definitely a process of trying to recoup all those assets and things that were lost. One thing that we had before the storm was a day pass that was available for people to use in Jefferson Parish and in Orleans Parish, right? And so this was a good thing for folks that relied upon regional travel regularly to get back and forth to work or get to doctor's appointments. And with this regional day pass, they didn't have to pay multiple fares. They didn't have to buy, you know, multiple tickets or transfers or anything like that. And so I've been working on a campaign that's specifically trying to address the problems that people have who are traveling regionally. And the day pass is one thing that we think would be helpful if we could get back. And so we're hoping to try to get the regional day pass back for folks. Also, we're hoping to possibly get some buses that run in Orleans that end up sort of near Jefferson Parish or right at the edge of Jefferson Parish to go a little further in. Like, for example, to Ochsner. There's quite a bit of traffic that goes all the way to Ochsner. And right now, if someone wants to go there, for example, if they take like the 16 or the 39, they have to get off and then get on the E3. And it's not a whole lot more, you know, traveling that they have to do, but they have to pay another $1.50.
Yeah.
And so we're just hoping that we could get one of those buses to just go straight out there. That way people don't have to pay double fares, or, you know, and so that would be good.
Basically, like right now in the campaign, I've just been taking surveys. I've been canvassing and taking surveys at that particular location at Carrollton and Claiborne, because
mm-hmm.
That's a main transfer point for folks coming from different neighborhoods in New Orleans who work out in places like Ochsner, or even further out like Walmart or different places in at Harahan or those little restaurants, mm-hmm. you know, in Elmwood.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of folks going even further out, but right now our focus is trying to get the bus to at least Ochsner.
It sounds like a lot of the things you're fighting for aren't necessarily like new things. It's things that either have been provided in the past or mm-hmm. things that they want to take away.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's an interesting thing, that you're not necessarily making new demands.
Right. I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, it would be ideal if our efforts were being, you know, directed in the direction to improve what we have, you know what I mean? Me adding services as opposed to just trying to recoup services, as opposed to just trying to sort of fight to not lose even mm-hmm. more. But that's, you know, that's sort of what we've been doing right now, so.
Right, kind of fighting fires and trying to get back.
Yeah.
Does Ride New Orleans do any sort of coalition building? Because I'm just thinking about people who are commuting, and if a lot of them are in the service industry or in these other positions where the cost of living has gone up, but the salaries have not gone up. Some of these people probably have lived in New Orleans and have been displaced. Does Ride New Orleans do any sort of coalition building with other issues or nonprofits that work on other kind
definitely,
of?
Definitely. We're definitely involved, and that's not mainly what I do. My other coworkers that I work with are Matt Hendrickson and Alex Pazorski. Alex Pazorski is our executive director, and Matt Hendrickson works on policy, and he also does the most of the organizing that deals with partner organizations, allied organizations. And so he, you know, he mostly deals with them. But for example, I know they often go to meetings to discuss, you know, affordable housing and things like that. And specifically, just recently, we started working with Fight for 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a huge overlap, you know, between mm-hmm. the people that we work with and the people that they work with, because, you know, a lot of the folks that are in the food service industry working at McDonald's and such, you know, they can't afford cars in New Orleans. They can't afford the car insurance in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're taking the bus. And unfortunately, you know, some of their shifts start so early, some of them end up having to like pay for taxis just to get to, for example, the E3 bus that goes all the way out to, mm-hmm. to Harahan, right? So, I mean, we definitely, that's one of the things our organization also pushes for, is to get buses that leave a little earlier, mm-hmm. you know, so that folks can make it to all of their shifts, you know, earlier and later, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, folks that are struggling, they end up having to shell out more money for travel, and using taxis and stuff like that. Many of them don't have bank accounts, so they can't use Uber, you know, because you need to have your check card linked up with that. And so they're paying more than, you know, someone with a bank account. So, you know, there's a lot of different issues that, you know, folks are dealing with that aren't making a living wage, you know what I mean, quite frankly. And our organization definitely works with other organizations that are looking out for those needs of those people.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the process of collecting the information about the needs of those people, mm-hmm. and your community building process and organizing. What is Ride New Orleans' approach in gaining that information, mm-hmm. for the needs of the residents?
So we have two sort of wings of our organization. One is more policy focused, and so we have a lot of folks, you know, on our board that have urban planning backgrounds, or, you know, backgrounds with city planning or transportation. And so we put out state of transit reports every year, and that data is collected through, you know, just different sort of public information sources, mm-hmm. Or just data that we also cover through going out and monitoring and gathering data ourselves, mm-hmm. right? The other wing of the organization is more grassroots oriented. And so that's the part that I work with, because I'm the, you know, community organizer. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes what I do, I go out, like right now, I have a survey that is specifically targeted toward seeing what people need that are crossing from Orleans Parish into Jefferson Parish, seeing how much they end up paying every day, seeing how many transfers they have to make, you know, seeing what they would like, would you like a regional day pass? Everybody says yes, you know, how much would you like to pay for? How much could you pay for it? What have been some of your experiences that you would like to share, so that we can understand, you know, what your life is like surrounding transit and what your transit needs are. Mm-hmm. So we go out and talk to people, take surveys, and then also just conversations, you know. It's really important to focus on the sort of relationships that you can have with folks, because that really helps with engagement. And I just love the folks in New Orleans, and so it's a treat for me to be able to talk to folks about their lives and have them be willing to share that with me.
Mm-hmm. And then what goes into taking all of that information up into, you know, maybe RTA and their plans and presenting it, and to make sure that their voices are heard?
Uh-huh. So as far as like data entry, like after I've created the survey, you know, I create like a Google form, and it takes all the information, like how much they pay per day, which buses they're taking to get to and from work, how far they're going into Jefferson Parish, specifically for the regional transit campaign that I'm working on. And so I just put all that information into Google Forms, and then, you know how Google Forms works, it exports to Google Sheets, and then you have different pie graphs and bar graphs that illustrate the information that we've collected. And right now we're still in the process of collecting. I've gotten about, you know, 75 surveys done so far, mm-hmm. but our goal is to get about 200 to have enough to kind of, you know, make a general statement about what people are generally experiencing. Mm-hmm. Also, what I've been doing is meeting with folks individually who seem to have like a, who want to tell their story, mm-hmm. right? And so I've set up several meetings with people who've either come to the office or I go meet them, you know, at their home. And we sit down and we talk about what their main issues are and the different things that we're trying to seek out and how those things would affect their lives if we were able to attain them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, one man that I recently met with, his name is Mr. Ventura, Albert Ventura. Maybe he's listening. I doubt it, though, because he's kind of a rock star, and so he usually performs in the evening. But, you know, we were talking about how much he travels throughout Jefferson Parish and, you know, Orleans Parish. He goes from, like, Chalmette all the way out to, like, you know, Harvey, you know, and so he's constantly zipping back and forth because he's, you know, making a living as a musician. And so he might pay, you know, upwards of $10, you know, a day or more, you know what I mean, for transportation. And so his particular issue would be helped if we were able to get the regional day pass. And I asked him, you know, how would getting this pass affect you, you know? And, you know, he has some, you know, different health concerns. And he's like, well, I'd be able to afford my medicine. And so that means that I would be able to live longer, you know? And so these are the choices that people are having to make right now. They're having to make a choice between, okay, do I use this money to get to my job so that I can eat, you know, or do I use this money to buy my medicine that is, you know, too expensive for me? But those are the choices that people are having to make right now. And so anything we can do to try to help that situation, you know, would be great. And that's why we're doing the work we're doing.
Right. And being able to make that connection too, if it's not just a bus pass, you know, it's a bus pass that allows me to pay for my medicine and
right.
live longer. And
right.
I think making those connections can be a little bit hard when you just think, okay, like taking the bus or transportation.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
like, no, these are things that make up our neighborhood and our livelihoods.
Right, right.
The other thing I'm thinking about is just kind of the fact that we are seeing a shift in the demographics of New Orleans and surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. But people come to New Orleans because they love the culture of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the policies that are in place are not supporting the people that create the culture here. And so maybe if you could just talk a little bit about, yeah, I mean, you just kind of touched on that, the way that these policies are essentially helping to erase what kind of makes New Orleans such a special place.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of this has to do with, you know, gentrification and housing, affordable housing, and then, you know, Airbnbs and things like this coming into play. What's happening with a lot of the folks that I work with is they're being pushed further and further out of the city, or they're being pushed to have to look for jobs that are further out in the city, right? And so areas that may be still affordable, like, for example, spots in New Orleans East, maybe someone grew up around Uptown, right? And now it's too expensive to live in Uptown, so maybe they moved out to the East. But the transportation options, you know, in the East may not be as much as they are where they used to live. So they end up stuck in a situation where it takes them like 2 hours to get to work and like 2 hours to get back to work. And so the more folks are being pushed out to more affordable locations, the more that affects, you know, their transportation needs and, you know, the routes and things like that need to change to reflect those changes as well, so that the folks, when they move to these newer areas that they didn't live before, the transportation is also moving so that, you know, their needs are served.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us this morning and informing us about redesigning of the ferry terminal and everything that Ride New Orleans is doing. So to reiterate, the rally is today at 4 p.m.
Yes.
And y'all are meeting at the Convention Center, or Canal and Convention Center Boulevard.
Correct, yeah.
And it'll be about 30 minutes.
Yeah, just about 30 minutes. It'll be pretty quick.
Okay.
And there's also the city council meeting tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, so tomorrow, the decision to give RTA permission to demolish the building or not is going to be dealt with tomorrow at the vote. So that's going to be at 10 a.m. And so we want to get as many people to go out to that as well. And I know it's not an easy time, you know, 10 a.m. A lot of folks are working. That's unfortunate. I am not certain of the exact room number, but they can call the city council clerk. They would have that information for the room number. And also when they get to the building, they can ask the person at the front desk if they're not, you know, if they're not sure. But it does start at 10. We're going to be urging folks to bring their signs. Some of the words that we're going to be using are delays, you know, danger, discomfort, and, you know, design disaster is sort of like the slogan for our rally. Because we feel that the terminal's been designed for delays and designed for danger and designed for discomfort, and altogether that pretty much just, you know, discourages ridership.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, thank you so much. If everyone wants to go out and support Ride New Orleans and the people who use transportation services and all the residents, that would be really great.
Yeah, you can go to rideneworleans.org. And on there, you can RSVP for the rally today. And also just, you know, you can read a little bit more about what we've been doing, and all of our reports are on there as well.
Cool. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks.